Hello, and welcome to the Sapona Road Church podcast. Today is a great day. It's the day that the Lord has made, and we are excited that you've taken time to join with us as we hear from God's Word. We exist as a church to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We hope that today's message encourages and blesses you and helps you to grow and mature in your walk and relationship with Him. The word of the Lord is powerful and life-changing, so let's see our lives transformed as we listen to today's message.
So have we taken His yoke? I'm going to read from Matthew 11, 28 through 30. It says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence. And we ask that you just bless this message today and your people to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to talk about taking the yoke of Jesus. And I think it's important. I think a lot of Christians don't do it. But I think it's important for all of us that we do. And these few verses are very powerful. It's a powerful section of Scripture because it tells us the key to something that we all need and something that we all desire. Rest. Just this past week, Heather and I, we went to Disney World 2 weeks ago, and she kept talking about, "This is the best I've slept in a long time. I'm not waking up with a kink in my neck." So, needless to say, we both got on Google, and apparently it's a thing. People think they sleep better at Disney World. I think it's because you walk 12 miles a day, but apparently it's the pillows. So Heather ordered a whole box of pillows. And now my bed, I told her, I said, you can't be serious about this. And she said, "Well, I'll make the bed." So that was a good compromise. And our bed's full of pillows. And she says she's resting better. I don't know if it's just in her head or not, but whatever it takes. But rest is important. People spend a lot of money. The older you get, the more you'll spend just to get some rest on with your bed, your pillows, or whatever that thing that is that helps you relax. But this scripture tells us, it tells us a key about rest, except what happens here, the problem is just like with a lot of other scriptures, we mess things up. We miss the big picture of what's going on, and so we fail to see part of the revelation. And you've heard me say sometimes we miss the obvious for something that seemed obvious, or we get it backwards and we switch it around, or either else we just read part of a verse and we don't read the whole thing to see the complete truth that God is trying to show us. And I want to give you an example of that. Now, this example doesn't go with this message, but it's just what came to my mind. And it's in Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Now, maybe this scripture might sound familiar to you, but it says this. It said, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good." Now, doesn't that look like a simple scripture? But people get that. They don't take the whole thing. They get it. And what happens when we don't apply the whole scripture to our lives, we get out of balance. And when we get out of balance, we got all kinds of problems that we're going to have to deal with. So here's what happens. They take just one part of it. And so I can remember when I was younger, it's not so much now, but when I was younger, there were a lot of churches out there that they only followed part of this verse, so they're out of balance, and their main thing was they focused on abhor what is evil. They could tell you everything they hated. They didn't agree with this, they didn't agree with that. If you did this, you were going to go to hell. If you did that, you were going to go to hell. They hated everything and everybody, but they didn't really like much. They never talked about anything good. They never talked. So what they were saying, a lot of stuff that they said was true. A lot of the stuff that they hated, they had a good reason to hate it. The problem was they forgot to cling to what was good. And so since they're out of balance, it's just going to be problems. And we still have the same thing today. But in my opinion today, we've gone to the other end of the spectrum here, because when it comes to this verse, most people in most churches, all they want to do is talk about the good. They forget that as Christians, we're not just to talk about the good. We're to hold on to those things that are good, but we are supposed to abhor what is evil. We're supposed to hate evil things. So all they want to do is cling to what's good and talk about what's good, and everybody's looking for the good in people and talking about loving people. That's all good. That's all true. I talk about it all the time when I'm preaching. I'm always talking about that stuff. But the problem is we have to remember that we're looking for the good in people. We're not looking for the good in the sinful lifestyle they're involved in. There is no good in sin. But we get it all backwards. We get out of balance. We start trying to find the good in what they're doing. No, we look for the good in the person. We're supposed to hate the sin that has them bound, that's keeping them from the Father. We should love all people. But we need to get back to loving the things of God and hating the things of this world. Now, we should love everyone, even our enemies, but we aren't supposed to love everything. And that scripture, can you put it up one more time? If you notice, also, this will simplify it, make it easy for you. He's done forgot the scripture. It was Romans 12:9. There you go. Abhor what is evil and hold fast to what is good. Notice it doesn't say who. We're to love people, but we're to hold on to what is good, and we're to hate what's evil. It doesn't mean we hate the person. We still love the person, but we have to call sin sin. When we don't, we get out of balance the other way. And then what happens is we get to a place where nobody knows what to do. And so as we as the church, we've gotten so tolerable that a lot of things that not only should we not be tolerating, but we should actually hate them. And we're letting it go on. And people don't even realize that they're in sin because we're trying to be so good to them. We should be good to the person, but we have to remember what the scripture says. Then when there's balance, there can be conviction when needs to be, and there can be you can be consoling someone and encouraging people when that needs to be. But that's a different sermon for another day. But you get the point here. We get stuff, we miss things in the scripture. And so back to the scripture today and the key that it says we can have, to what it says we can have. Maybe, I don't know, is there anyone in here that you don't need more rest? Okay, I'm in the right place. We all need rest. We all have things going on in our lives. And the problem is most of us want rest, but we want it right now because we got stuff we need to do, right? We don't have time to wait on rest. We just need it to get there. We need it to be there so that we can get our list done. And so in this instant gratification age, we love Matthew 11:28. We love this verse. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That just sounds amazing, doesn't it? We love it. We love this because it requires very little from us. All we have to do is just kind of show up. That's what we like. Just give it to me, God. Just give it to me. Here I am. Just give it to me. Lay it on me. We don't want anything on our part. And so if we'll read the next verse, though, we'll begin to understand. Verse 28 tells us that he'll give us rest, but it's verse 29 that tells us how to receive it. If I give you something and you don't receive it, it's not going to do you any good. You have to receive it before it's going to benefit you. I don't write checks. If I have Heather write a check and give it to you, I can give you that. We gave them $100 or $20, whatever Heather wants to write the check for, $1,000. If I give it to you, until you take it and go put it in your bank and receive it, you don't have any money. Not until it hits the bank. You got to receive it. And so verse 29 tells us how to receive it. Verse 29 says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. He gives us the rest, but verse 29 tells us how we're to receive it. In order for us to experience the rest that Jesus gives, We have to do two things. We have to learn from him and we have to take his yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. You have to learn from him. You have to do it his way. See, could it be that he's saying, hey, if you're tired and you're burdened and you're worn out, just come to me and learn my way of doing things and you'll find rest for your souls. Quit doing it your way. Follow me. Be like me. Face life the way that I do. Stop doing it your way and learn from me. Trust me. And you'll find rest. See, we think that when we think of rest, we think of like Jesus just taking away all our problems. He just fixes everything. Everything goes away. See, sometimes we forget Jesus never said that everything was going to go your way. He said that in this life we were going to have troubles, we were going to have tribulations, and that we would be persecuted. That's what he said. I believe everything that the Lord says except the part where I'm going to be persecuted and have troubles. That's the way a lot of people live their Christian life, but that's it, part of the territory. That's how it goes. See, when Jesus walked this earth, not everybody liked him. He had problems. He faced not so pleasant circumstances. We read the red writing in the Bible and we think, man, that was amazing. But a lot of people there that day said, man, I want to kill him. We got to figure out a way to get rid of this guy. People were always plotting and scheming on him. He faced a lot of things. See, but if we'll learn from him, then we'll be able to rest even in those difficult circumstances just like he did. So he said, take his yoke upon us and for us to learn from him. So here, this verse, sometimes we do the same thing with this one. We get a misconception developed here because we just kind of lump everything together. And in verse 30, when he said his yoke was easy and his burden was light. So what we do here is we have to realize these are two different things. They're two different things, but most of the time, because they're in the verse together and we always quote them together, we've kind of developed this mentality that the yoke of Jesus is a burden. Maybe you felt that way. Maybe you wouldn't say it, but maybe you felt that way. Like, he says, take his yoke upon him because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And we start thinking of the yoke as a burden. That's the way a lot of people, a lot of Christians go through their walks with the Lord. They look at the Christian life as having to carry some type of extra burden. A yoke is not a burden. It's two different things. A yoke is a tool that makes carrying a burden light. It makes carrying a load easy. A yoke is not a cruel device to torture you and to put burdens on you when he asks you to take his yoke upon you. A yoke is a gentle device that makes hard work easy. If you take a mule or an ox or whatever type of livestock you would be using to plow or to carry a load, to pull something, it wouldn't be able to do it if it weren't for the yoke. Now, I know you are not all farmers, but if you were somewhere, I would like to see you just take that plow or take that wagon, that load, whatever, and just tie it to that mule's tail and see what happens. Tie it to one of its back legs, one of its ears, or even just put the bridle in his mouth and say, and start hitting it with a whip and see how far he pulls it. He's not going to be able to. The yoke is what makes him able to carry the load. The plow or the load that they're pulling is the burden, not the yoke. The yoke is what is allowing you to carry that burden painlessly that you wouldn't be able to carry on your own. So Jesus said his yoke was easy and his burden was light. So since the yoke's not the burden, what was his burden? Is it something that he wants us to carry? I kind of doubt that. I don't really think Jesus needs our help carrying something for him. I think he kind of took care of all of it, didn't he, when he said it was finished? So he's not trying to put burdens on you. He's putting blessings on you. He took away sin. He took away guilt, shame. He took away poverty, sickness. He took away all those different things from our lives. And so I believe the burden here is his burden when he was on this earth is the burden that all men and women carry. It's called the burden of life. Yet Jesus was God, but he also had to live life on this earth. And the burdens of life are too heavy for any of us to carry on our own. Anybody that's tried will tell you it's not going to work. But see, accepting Jesus and becoming a Christian does not make all the burdens just go away. What it does is it puts us in a position to take His yoke upon us. And when we take His yoke upon us and we begin to learn from Him and do things His way, then that burden, the burden of life, the burden that everybody carries, it becomes light. It changes things. So I got a helper today, Nathan and Lily, if you'll do that for me. Nathan's my guinea pig to do this illustration for you. And he's going to show you how to carry burdens. And Lily's setting up life, because life has a lot of obstacles. Okay? All right, so just put, three there is good. That's good, that's good. And then one in the middle. So first, Nathan's going to show us how to carry. I'll bring them to you. This is the burden of life. And this is, I guess, the road of life. So what happens many times is we think we can do it all on our own when we're young and good-looking like Nathan. We just think there's going to be no problems. And so we tuck those burdens in close because all we think about is ourselves, right? It's just us. And if he holds them up under his, like that, he could probably walk most of the day like that, don't you think? He could go a pretty long ways. And he could carry that load, but what happens is as he starts going through life, life starts to stretch you because now Nathan's a high school senior. So he's got college or work or whatever he decides to do, but let's just say, keep going, Nate. So when life starts to stretch him, all of a sudden he can't tuck these burdens in so close because now he's graduating college and he's got to get a real job, and it starts stretching him out. Turn your hands over, Nate. Turn them out. Yeah, let them lay flat. The book's in your hands there. Some of us got punished in school like this, so we know what's about to happen. And then after he gets out of college, he has to get a real job. Then he falls in love, and now he's married and stretching him. Put him on out there. Yeah. Then he has a kid. All these things are happening. Okay, you can stop. Now before you thought he could walk all day, hold him out there. Don't stop. Now, how long do you think he can hold him like this? I'd say he might go a little over 5 minutes because he's stubborn, maybe. He might make it to 10. But sooner or later, no matter who in here can hold it the longest, those books are going to drop. He's going to crash and burn in life trying to carry that burden on his own. Just put him right there, Nate. So what happens is that happens to most of us, and we realize these burdens in life are rough. I got the same number of books in here. And about 15 Food Lion bags. So now, you can do your head.
Yeah.
Or you have to kind of hold the tension there a minute. Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, so Nate, what's going to happen? Don't go yet. So what happens after that is, I can't do this. I heard about this church up the road. I'm going to go to this church. And he goes and he hears the gospel message and how Jesus said, if you'll come to me, all your burdens are going to... No, he didn't say it, even though that's what all the songs say. But here he is. He's so now he goes to church. He receives Jesus and he thinks that he's going to take the yoke of Jesus. But actually what he just did is he put on the yoke of religion. Because when it comes to the yoke of religion, you get a lot of, they mean well, good brothers and sisters that give you a long list of do's and don'ts of what it takes. But right now, see, what happens to most people that this happens to is Nate feels good. His arms aren't hurting, right, Nate? Your arms feel good? He feels a little freer than he felt before when he had those burdens. And since he's got all these new friends at church telling him how great he is and everything he should do and shouldn't do, walk around, but don't go to the end of the rope. He kind of feels really free. But then after a while, not around the chairs, Nate. You're not going to make it. All right, stop right there. All of a sudden, once he those steps out a little back into out of the church, everything being in that little bubble and gets out in the real world carrying the burden of, he realizes, let's take one more step. The burden of life didn't go away. He's just got a different yoke on. Now, the problem with wearing the wrong yoke, sometimes the wrong yoke's worse than no yoke. Because when the yoke doesn't fit properly, it starts to cause sores. It causes touchy spots. It causes pain, and that farm animal will let you know when the yoke's not fitting properly. It might kick at you, spit at you, nip at you, at least yell out. And now, usually when I'm preaching, I don't really preach for amens, but I'm going to give you a really good place to say amen today. There are a lot of touchy people in church.
Amen.
Yeah, and if you get near that spot where that yoke of religion hasn't been fitting properly, they will let you know.
Amen.
Real quick, some of them yell out, some of them even kick and spit. I haven't had that happen yet, but I've heard of it happening to other preachers. But what's going to happen to Nate is he's going to try and make it. But do you really think you could try and see if you can go between them. I don't know how far he's going to be able to make it. Yeah, he's going to start getting hung up. And as he gets hung up, come here one more time, and then I'm going to let you take that thing off. You look ridiculous.
Yeah.
As he gets hung up, this is going to get tighter and tighter. And that's what starts happening. All right, you can take it off. That's what starts happening with the yoke of religion. You get to a place where you're going to church, you're reading your Bible, you're praying, but you almost every day you're like this. You feel like your head is going to explode. You're trying to figure everything out, but somebody just keeps putting a heavier, heavier load. And the more they put on you, the tighter that yoke is getting around your head. Every day is a headache. And it's just getting worse and worse and worse. Maybe some of you have been there. I've been there. I've tried that. I've tried that yoke on before. And so you get to this place and you just don't know what you're going to do. And if you also notice, with both of these yokes that Nathan was working, did he have a hand to help anybody else? He's too busy. At the beginning, he thought he did. With the first one, he didn't. Both hands are full. The second one, he thought he did until he actually started going back down the road of life and carrying the burden that we all carry. And then all of a sudden, he was having to hold on to where that yoke was about to kill him. Now imagine how long could you think he could carry that? It probably felt a little bit lighter than when it was in your hands to begin with, but sooner or later that yoke was going to cause issues. So then we got, this one's the yoke of Jesus. Drop that in there. Okay, put it on, I'll get the rope. Do that chest strap. Secure it, the whole thing. You got it?
Yeah.
Okay, you can just, once you get it to click, you can start walking. Heather, help him out. He only carries backpacks on one shoulder. He's still cool, so he doesn't know how to put one on all the way. Okay, so now, this is the yoke of Jesus. And if you notice, Nathan's not having any problems. He can go through life. He's still carrying the burden of life, but he's not being burdened down by all these other things that catch up with you when you try to do it your way. He could jump from chair to chair if he wanted. He might, I'm not going to ask him to, but he could probably jump over a chair if he wanted with that. And it just changes everything. But there's a lot of people that don't have the right yoke. And say, come here, Nate, and turn around. So here's the other thing. Nathan is, now that he's free, everybody looks at him and they're going to say, man, everything goes your way. You don't ever have any problems. But he's carrying the exact same load. Their load is not any heavier than his because it's the same burden. It's the burden of life. But they think everything goes Nate's way. They don't realize that it's because he has the yoke of Jesus that's allowing him to look. It's the same burden, except this burden now is light because he has the yoke of Jesus on. Not only is the yoke light, but now look, his hands are free. If he comes upon a brother or sister in Christ that needs help, and not only that, it seems so light. If they're in real bad need, he can even help carry their load for a little while. Because through the yoke of Jesus, He teaches us, if we learn from Him, He teaches us how to be an uplifter of others, how to be an encourager. You can sit down, Nate. You did good. I don't know about you, but I've put on the wrong yoke a bunch of times in my life, and it caused me a lot of pain and a lot of trouble. But I want to make another point to you about the yoke of Jesus, what it does upon us. Is that I said when we become a Christian, it doesn't mean that all of our burdens just roll away. I know some songs say that that happens, but when it comes to Christian music, I don't know if you know this or not, but not all of it is biblical. Whether it's new music or old music, there's a lot of great songs out there, and then there's a lot of really great, powerful biblical songs out there, and then there's a lot of really good sounding songs that aren't biblical at all in under Christian music. So your burdens don't just, it's not all your burdens go away, okay? When we get saved, there are some things that are immediately gone. There's some things that are immediately taken away, like our sins, our past. Our guilt and our shame is supposed to be taken away, but we just always grab it and put it back on. But it's gone. And then you do have some people, now not all, but some people, they get saved and all their addictions just fall off of them, or they receive a healing in their body. Things happen. But the burden that I'm talking about, it's not going to roll away because it's the burden of life. And it's still there for us if we're living and breathing and walking on this earth. And so when we take the yoke of Jesus, it can immediately feel like that load is lighter. Immediately, even though we're going to continue to learn from Him and make better and better decisions and be more like Him, but here's why. The weight of something in the physical, no matter how big or how small it is, it ultimately comes down to gravity. Here on this earth, how much something weighs, it comes back to gravity. And so what weighs 1,000 pounds here on earth, it's not going to weigh 1,000 pounds in outer space where the gravity's different, or there is no gravity, if they're not lying to us about everything in space with all the conspiracy theories out there now. So it weighs 1,000 here, but it doesn't weigh 1,000 there because the gravity's different. And so since gravity is about attraction, it's about the pull or the attraction to this earth, we could say that the weight of any load depends on the attraction that it has to this earth. When we take upon us the yoke of Jesus, in a sense, it removes the attraction of this world. It should. It removes the attraction of this earth because we're actually citizens of heaven. When we take His yoke upon us, we begin to realize that. We begin to walk in who we are. So even though the load is the exact same size, it doesn't carry the same weight. It's the same load, but it's not the same weight. See, if you feel burdened and you feel like the weight of this life is just too much to take another step, then you need to ask yourself, have I taken the yoke of Jesus? Or am I still trying to carry this on my own? Or am I still trying to carry this using religion? See, am I learning from Him? Am I finding rest? So it all depends on, like, what does that look like, trying to live like Jesus? What is it? Well, one thing, He only did what the Father was doing. He only said what the Father was saying, which meant everything He did, every decision He made, was with eternity in mind. And that's what Heather and I have told the kids over and over about different things when they're trying to decide. I'll say, hey, every decision you make, when you're not sure what to do, you need to make that decision with eternity in mind. Because you start to realize all these things that you think are so important, that you think are so heavy, they're really not. Because they're not what's important. Eternity's what's important. Eternal life with God. Eternal being in communion with Him. And so we get things and we make a lot of things more difficult than it needs to be. For one, just say picking a spouse. Most people, like I had this talk with Hannah not too long ago, and maybe you're having this talk with your kids at some point too, but I was talking to her about the importance of choosing a spouse, and I said, if you pick a spouse, or when you pick a spouse, I said, you need to be sure that you pick someone that if you died in a tragic accident, I know, I always go there, I go to the extremes on stuff, I said, but you need to pick someone that if you died in a tragic accident, that you could trust that guy to raise your children in a way that you would see them in heaven. Don't be picking somebody you think you can fix. But see, that's what he said. He said, don't be unequally yoked. Oh, we don't need to listen to that. I'm just going to pray real hard for them, and they're going to get so much better. If you, when you're picking a spouse, that's an important decision. And if you do think about that, if you were to die now, for those that aren't married yet, I want you to think about this. For those that are married, you better just keep praying if they're not what they need to be. But if you're not married, think about that. You pick somebody and you were to die in a tragic accident, would they lead your children to the Savior or would they lead them to hell? Which way would they follow them? There's a lot of people who would have made a different decision if they'd have just thought about that when they were 18, 19, 20 years old. But see, that's those things. We don't listen to the stuff that he's trying to teach us because we won't take his yoke. We won't learn from him. We won't get in the Word and let it take all the voices because all the other voices are yelling and screaming, telling you everything to do. Do what makes you happy. Do what makes you money. Do what makes you famous. Do what all these other things. And we don't listen to the voice of the Lord. And so for that reason, we wind up pulling some heavy loads in this world. There's a lot of things that I have pulled that have been extremely heavy that if I would have just listened to God, it would have been so much lighter. But usually we just tune that voice out, don't we? I want to tell you one more story. Well, I think one more story, and then I'm going to close and open the altars if anybody wants to come kneel down. Well, you can come kneel down at a chair. A guy I used to work with, he called me the other day, and I got to thinking about some stuff with him because he never believed me. Anything I told him, he didn't believe me. This is a big guy. He played football at NC State, so he's a big guy, and he's very emotional. I mean, he's excited, mad. Everything is to the extreme, you know. I'm the other end of that spectrum. And so everything I tried to tell him, he thought I was lying, trying to pull his leg, not just lying, but trying. I like to play jokes. And one time he was about to have a meeting. He owned a company. I worked for him. So I had to go everywhere with him. He took me to all these different places. And he's about to have a meeting, and his name's Wes. And I said, hey, Wes, man, you've got a hole in the seat of your britches. I just said it like that. He sticks his hand back on the wrong side. I don't know why he didn't check both sides, but he just checks one side. And he says, Aaron, don't even try it. The meeting's about to start. You're just pulling my leg. I said, Wes, I'm not pulling your leg. I said, you've got a hole. Your underwear's hanging out. He said, Aaron, I don't have time for you today. I said, okay. We had about an hour-long meeting, and the whole pocket was gone. I don't know what he caught the back of his pants on, but it ripped the whole pocket off. Luckily, he had on colored underwear, but they weren't whitey tighties or anything. But he's up there, and everybody's looking. No, everybody else is too scared to tell him because he's a pretty intimidating guy. And after the meeting, I finally told his second command guy. I said, "Hey, look, tell him I'm not lying to him. He's got a hole in his pants." He said, Wes, you got a hole in your pants. He's not lying. He reaches his hand back. I said, it's on the other side, Wes. And he puts his hand back there and gets nothing but underwear. His eyes get huge. He starts hollering and screaming, why hadn't I told him? I said, I told you twice, and you wouldn't listen. So he takes me to Minnesota. Isn't that where Mall of America's at? We're at Mall of America in Minnesota, and he wants to ride the roller coaster. And he's scared of roller coasters. I was on a roller coaster with him at SeaWorld, and he looked like an English bulldog because saliva was coming out of his mouth where he was panicking because they barely got him into the... it would barely fit over him because he's a big dude. And he's like... So we're sitting there, and she starts the ride. And I look over, and he's not buckled up. And so I just... same way. Hey, Wes, you're not buckled up. That's how I said it. I don't know why I didn't yell it at him. I said, don't even try it, Aaron. You know I'm scared of roller coasters. And you're just trying to mess with me. I said, Wes, I'm not messing with you. You're not buckled up. I got this lap bar on. And so now we're at the part where it's going click, 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 click. You know, we're going up. And so I tell him again, I said, Wes, there's also a seat belt to keep you from slipping to that lap bar. And he reaches down, he feels the seat belt, starts yelling cuss words and about to fall out the roller coaster trying to hook up the seat belt so you don't fall out. You know, why didn't you tell me? Wes, I've been telling you since before the ride started and you wouldn't listen to me. See, most of us, I don't know if you know this, but this life can be like a roller coaster. And there's all these other things going on, but sometimes you just got to get in the Word so you can hear that still, small voice. Everybody else is yelling, and the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, you're not covered. I know everybody else is telling you it's okay to live this way. I know everybody else is telling you you'll still go to heaven doing what you're doing, but you're not covered. You don't have my yoke upon you. That's religion if it's telling you everything's bad, and that's religion if it's telling you everything's good. You need to do it my way. But we won't listen to that still, small voice. We just wait, and then when everything's about to drop on us, we start panicking. We start saying, Lord, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you warn me? Why didn't you? The whole time he said, just take my yoke upon you. I'm gentle and lowly of heart. Learn from me, and you'll find the rest that you're looking for. So the question today is, are you going to do it? He's offered the rest. He said, come to him, but it's more than just, go ahead and stand. And I want to just open the altar for just a moment. I don't have any special prayer to pray with you because like I said, that whole thing, that, you know, come to me all who are laboring or heavy laden and I will give you rest. That's great. But when you get up, you're going to have to take his yoke and go learn from him. You might feel refreshed, but when you get up and you walk out of here, you're still going to be carrying the burden of life. And it's going to keep being heavy until you take the yoke of Jesus and do it his way. Stop being so stubborn and listening to everybody else and do it the way he wants you to. So I want to just open the altars up for a moment before I start praying. If that's you, if you've been tired, if you've been weary, if you've been feel like you're carrying a load that you don't know how much longer you can carry it, if you feel like life has stretched you as far as you can stretch and everything's about to drop, if you feel like you're at the top of that roller coaster and you're not buckled in the way that you need to, Just as a statement of faith, I just want you to come down. And I just want you to spend just a few moments just between you and God. And I'm going to pray a prayer over all of us. If you want special prayer, I'll be glad to pray with you. But this isn't about me praying for you. This is about you being real with God. You can't hide anything from him anyways. If you want prayer, we'll pray with you. But this is you stepping out in faith and saying from this moment on, God, I'm going after you. I want to take your yoke upon me. You're acknowledging how gentle and lowly of heart, how sweet he is, and that you're going to learn from him and that you're going to move forward. You're not just looking for some big thing where everything goes perfect and goes your way. That would be great, but that's not going to happen. The burden of life, every single one of us have to carry it. Every single one of us have to walk this thing out. Miracles are great. Signs and wonders are great. They're needed. We need it more and more and more. But even after all those types of encounters happen, you got to walk this thing out. And you walk it hand in hand with Jesus. His yoke is easy and the burden is light. So, Father, I thank you for those that have come down this morning, Lord, and I pray even for those that maybe were thinking about it and didn't take the step, God, I pray, though, that you honor this step of faith by every person who came down to this altar. God, we thank you for your yoke. God, you're not trying to pile burdens upon us, God. You're wanting us to live the blessed life. You're wanting us to live the victorious life. You're wanting us to live the abundant life. And the only way we can do that is doing it your way. God, I pray that each and every person in this place, we would make the decision to take the yoke of Jesus upon us. We would quit trying to carry the load on our own. We'll quit trying to turn to every type of religious doctrine that there is, thinking that this is going to make it easier when all it does is cause pain and cause discomfort and cause fighting among the brethren. God, there's been way too much of that. And you said people would know that we're yours by the way we loved one another. God, with all the things that are going on, it's really obvious that most people are under the yoke of religion instead of under your yoke that's easy, and it makes the burden light. So God, I pray that we would listen for that still, small voice of Holy Spirit. I pray that we would get in the Word, and God, not just read, but sit there and wait for the Word to speak to us so that we can learn from You and we can find the rest for our souls that we so desperately need and desire. God, help us to take the whole Word and not just a piece here and a piece there until we're so unbalanced. Not only are we falling down, but we're taking others with us. Help us to be that person like Nathan was in the illustration, God, that can carry that burden because of You, because of Christ in us, the hope of glory, that we can carry that burden and we can be the helping hand to others that are in need. God, we just bless Your name in all things. Father, thank You for every person in this house. Lord, I pray that our worship blessed You today. Lord, I pray that we were able to turn our hearts and our affections towards You. I pray that we put a smile on Your face with our songs and declarations of praise. God, and I thank You that You always smile upon us, that You bless us even when we don't deserve it, God. And now I just ask for favor for every person in this house with You and with man, God, that we would be, Lord, we just, all the things that we declare in our normal declarations, God, that people would just walk in Your ways. God, help each and every one of us to learn from You. And I pray every family here be impacted by those that are here today. Lord, let us share the gospel like never before. Let us declare Your goodness. Let us make Jesus famous everywhere that we go. Lord, we thank You for signs and wonders and miracles and encounters, God. They're so amazing. God, we thank You most of all for You. We thank You for Holy Spirit. And we ask that You bless each one here today, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We are so happy that you joined us today. If you are interested in learning about or giving to this ministry, you can find more information at SaponaRoadChurch.com. If you are local to the Fayetteville, North Carolina area, our meeting times are 10:45 a.m. Sunday mornings and 7 o'clock p.m. Wednesdays for our Connect groups. From all of us here at Sapona Road Church, we hope that you have a great day as you walk in the Lord's favor and blessing.